Welcome in. This is the Fiesta Bowl preview on Mountain West Connection Podcast. Welcome into the show. It's Chris again, and Matt, and no Jeremy.
Sorry.
Sorry? You're apologizing? Not sorry. Oh my goodness. This is overwhelming, man. Like I've never been like I've only been like an actual host like one or two times.
Well, you're off to a good start. Just keep going. You got to remind the folks we're from MWCConnection.com, you know, Facebook, SoundCloud, Twitter at MWCConnection, iTunes, all those kinds of stuff.
Nice. See, this is why I need a co-host. That's Matthew Kennerly at MattK_FS, and I'm Chris Hondros at Greek Padre. I don't even know my own Twitter handle. So we're talking Fiesta tonight.
And yes, you are.
Cue my bad Lionel Richie impersonations of All Night Long, right? So,
well, I think it'll be a good matchup. They tend to be whenever the Broncos head to the desert.
Right, but this will be literally the first time where Boise State has really faced an actual home opponent. Like because I went to the last few Fiesta Bowls, and you know it was 60-40. It was about 50-50 for the Oklahoma-Boise State game, and it was about 70-30 Boise State-TCU for that Fiesta Bowl, just because TCU, they're very not spirit-supporting an alumni. I don't know why it was just so lopsided in that game.
Uh-huh.
It was kind of really weird. But this game, I mean, we can expect probably 70% Arizona fans at this game.
Oh, wow.
And it's not because Bronco Nation doesn't travel well, but it's because this game is in the state of Arizona. The amount of alumni in Arizona who went to University of Arizona is quite a bit. And so there's probably going to be a lot of people who went to this game, who went to the school who will be at this game. So I just think it's going to really be more of an actual home team advantage for Arizona. And so that is actually the first thing that we have to worry about, right? So what's the spread for this game?
Right now it is Boise State's getting 3 points, so they kind of seem...
Wait, what? Are you serious? Hold on.
I am looking at oddshark.com right now.
Okay.
Boise State +3. That
what?
Tells me that they're just about even.
Boise State +3. That means Arizona, literally all Arizona has is a home team advantage in this game.
Yep.
What?
But you
this
know
game
what?
Opened up at like Arizona -8, I thought.
You know what, though? I would argue that, you know, Boise State's looked like a different team over the last month. So if the line had shifted, I could see why it might have done that.
Yeah, I totally agree. And with the – really, I mean, Anu Solomon will be starting this game for Arizona, but he got shaken up in the game versus Oregon. He's had about a month to heal, but still he can't. And that's got to say something to what Arizona is going to be kind of expected. Who's going to be backing up, and not just backing up, but will they be as competent as Solomon? Because Solomon's a damn good quarterback. Here's the over-under for this game. It's 67.5.
Yeah, that's a tempting number.
That's a very... I want to, like, automatically take the over.
Yeah, but you always take the over.
Just because I always take the over doesn't mean... I took the under in the San Diego State Navy matchup.
Oh, yeah, you did.
But, yeah, that's... I mean, we're talking... So, and we'll keep this in mind when we do our predictions at the end, but right now, that's talking about... 36-33 game? 35-32?
Yeah, it looks like they're thinking the defenses are going to be optional.
Which, yeah, that sounds about right. And let's go into it. So let's go into the offenses. So we know everything about Boise State's offense, because everybody thinks that we're just Boise State homers, and that really only just applies to me.
It definitely does not apply to me, let's put it that way. But, I mean, I saw enough of Boise State over the last month to realize that was the team that I thought, that was the team that I was skeptical we would see all season long. But they showed up, they did exactly what they needed to do, they blew away the rest of the competition. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with the improvement in certain places. Grant Hedrick really stopped, he started taking better care of the ball, first of all. He hasn't had to do too much, but he hasn't had a turnover in the last three games. It really, since halftime of that game against San Diego State, they've looked like a totally different team, and they've taken themselves to a different level.
Yeah, and you can actually make the argument before halftime of the San Diego State game. I mean, they fell down, they were down 20 to nothing after the first quarter of that game, but they came back. But really, Grant Hedrick's stats after the Air Force game, so his whole stats for the season so far is 22 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. But since the Air Force game, he's had 17 of those touchdowns and 4 interceptions. So that should tell you, you know, all that you need to know. That Grant Hedrick has been almost unstoppable since the Air Force game. And that is really what has helped Boise State move back into kind of the top mid-major area. On the other side, and, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, you've had a new Solomon. How much Arizona football have you watched this year?
I've only seen them pretty sparingly. I haven't sat down and watched a whole game of theirs. I've seen bits and pieces of several of their games.
See, I've managed to watch, unfortunately or fortunately, a lot of Arizona football because they always seem to be on at Saturday night, 7 o'clock p.m. They usually start those night games. And so, you know, Anu Solomon, I've known that name before because guess what? He's a Bishop Gorman product.
Hmm.
He's a Las Vegas product, recruited by UNLV, ultimately chose the better school, go figure. Sorry, UNLV. Hey, you have Tony Sanchez. You can't, you know, argue with that. Now, this is a guy, though, he's completed, he's phenomenal as a freshman. 285 and 491. If you want to know that percentage, that's 58%. That's not a lot, but what is a lot is 27 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So basically, he's Rich Rodriguez's ideal gunslinger quarterback, the ones who we saw in Pat White when Rich Rod was at West Virginia. That's kind of what I compare Anu Solomon to.
Yeah, I mean, overall, it's really hard to find fault with a lot of the things that he's done this year. I'm looking, you know, through his game logs, and really, you could make the argument he was really only overwhelmed by kind of the really good defenses that he had to play this year. You know, thinking most specifically about the Pac-12 title game against Oregon, he said he got banged up and didn't play all that well. But even against the Utah game, you know, maybe Colorado State fans can sympathize because he had his worst game of the year, you know, in Salt Lake City. And then, you know, there were a couple of other instances where they really had to put the game on his shoulders. You know, in their game against Southern Cal, he threw the ball 72 times and averaged only 5.5 yards per attempt. So he hasn't been perfect, but I'm sure he's been a lot better than they expected him to be.
Yeah. And moving on, and I'm trying to sort of make this a quick show tonight because we podcast forever all the time. So the real story in this game, you could talk about Anu Solomon and the Arizona offense as a whole, but when you talk about Boise State, I'm sorry, the first name you think of is not Grant Hedrick, it's J.H.I.
Yes.
So Jay, what?
I said yes.
Oh, absolutely. J.H.I. averaging 5.2 yards per carry this year, 325 carries, 1689. And, you know, all the Mountain West folk, they all know about J.H.I. I'm just repeating this for any casual Arizona listeners who decide to say, oh, we're the experts, we know everything. Ajayi's 25 touchdowns on the year, But Ajayi's game is not just the running. Yes, he goes beast mode a lot, but I think Ajayi's a bigger threat out of the backfield when he's playing that receiving game.
Yeah, I mean, you might be right, but you have to remember that Arizona's got the guy who not only won the Nagurski Award, he won the Rotary Lombardi and the Bednarik Award. We're talking, of course, about Scooby Wright III. That guy's been all over the place every time I've watched him this year. And so, I mean, it wouldn't be a surprise to see him and Ajayi, you know, butt heads a few times in the early going.
Absolutely. And one thing about Scooby Wright has forced Marcus Mariota earlier this season to create one of his very, very, very few turnovers this season. That is Heisman winner Marcus Mariota. So Scooby Wright knows how to hit to cause fumbles. And that is Scooby Wright's specialty. And that's why I'm thinking in this game, Boise State would have an advantage not just using Jay Ajayi as smash mouth back, but using him more as a wide receiver in this game.
Well, see, here's the thing, too. You know they're going to want to get the ball in Ajayi's hands, but you know, for as good as Scooby Wright has been, he hasn't really done it alone. You know, the Wildcats were actually third in the Pac-12 in tackles for loss, which kind of tells me that it was a team effort. You know what I mean?
Right.
So you don't have to worry about just guys like Scooby Wright. You got to worry about pretty much everybody because they play the 3-3-5, correct?
Yeah, they do play the 3-3-5, and Boise State is very familiar / hates the 3-3-5 defense.
Exactly.
Thanks, Bucky Long.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, Scooby Wright's the headliner, but there's other guys on this team that they're going to have to be keeping an eye on. Guys like, you know, Tremaine Bondurant, who may not even be in the starting lineup, but he had a really good game in the Territorial Cup against Arizona State. You know, he had, you know, 4.5 tackles for loss, forced 4 fumbles, and then he had an interception. And that was as a guy coming off the bench. And then you got other guys like, you know, William Parks, who I believe was third in the Pac-12 in tackles. Or no, excuse me, I'm talking about Jared Tevis, who was third in the Pac-12. He had 119 tackles. So, you know, there's guys. They're going to be putting pressure on Grant Hedrick the same way that you might expect someone like San Diego State to. It's really going to come down to, I guess, how well, you know, they keep Hedrick upright and, you know, whether they can slow down Ajayi enough in the early going.
And we could talk about the defensive line, Arizona's 3-3-5, which Scooby Wright is. But what about Boise State's defensive side of the ball? I mean, you can argue that one of the best players on the defensive line in the Mountain West in general was defensive line Kamalea Correa, who led the Mountain West in sacks this year. That's 10 sacks that he had by himself. The guy gets behind, gets to the quarterback extremely quickly, and you're very familiar with that from when we were watching the Mountain West championship game. How quick was Correa back there just on Burrell?
Yeah, unfortunately.
It's just constant.
You know, the thing is that Arizona's got a pretty experienced offensive line, so they're going to be ready for whatever Boise State throws at them. They got, you know, a guy who's started 51 straight at left tackle in Mickey Baucus. But, I mean, you might be right, because if they can, you know, if they can hurry Solomon and, you know, force him to throw, make plays before he wants to, that might be one of the big keys to success.
Yeah, and like you said, you talked about Mickey Baucus, who has started for the Wildcats O-line for 51 straight times. But here's the thing with the Wildcats, though. How many sacks... Yeah. Where do they rank nationally? I know you're probably reading the same article I am. Where do they rank nationally in terms of allowing sacks?
In sack allowed? I think, well, I was looking more at the conference standings, and I think they were middle of the pack in that regard.
If they're middle of the pack, then wow.
They allowed 32 sacks on the year, which was seventh in the conference.
Yeah, and that's for 104th in the nation. So, big holes lets Solomon and the running back core take off, but big holes also allow the defensive lines, any quick defensive lineman, to get back there just extremely quickly.
Well, then, you know, I would make the argument that a guy like Nick Wilson might play a big role in this game. Because, you know, he wasn't the only freshman in that Arizona backfield who had himself a pretty good year this year. You know, he had 1,200 yards, almost 1,300 yards. He was fourth in yards per game among Pac-12 running backs. So might we see a lot of him in the early going to try to soften up this, you know, the Boise State front seven?
Well, I think between him and, remember how I said how Chad Price was the wild card for San Diego State, I think you're going to look at the same thing for Arizona. Terrace Jones-Grigsby has been a more than a reliable back for Nick Wilson as a backup. He has got 107 carries of his own for 528 yards. That's almost 5 yards a carry. And he's kind of been that just go-to guy when Wilson needs a breather. Because normally your backup guy isn't going to have, you know, a third of the carries of your starting running back.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But overall, I mean, you're talking about Arizona's offense, and they are just, it's explosive. And what I mean, it's explosive. I mean, like I said, Anu Solomon, almost 3,500 yards passing as a freshman. But the rushing, the team rushing, has 2,400 yards by themselves. So this is a team who attacks on all fronts. You know, and it's extremely similar to Boise State in that, you know, Boise State, you know, 3,600 yards, well, 3,400 yards for Hedrick passing, 2,800 yards for the rushing team as a whole. So they're extremely evenly matched on offense. So my question to you is, I would say, give me three keys to the game. Give me three players who are going to basically completely impact this game.
Are we talking Boise State players or Arizona players? Or
both sides.
Both sides. Okay. Got to think about this for a minute. One, I guess one of them would have to be Jared Tevis. You know, because he plays that, you know, real crucial position in the Arizona defense, he's going to have a lot of different kinds of responsibilities, and so he's going to have, you know, he may be responsible for covering Jay Ajayi on one play, and then, you know, trying to hustle and take down Shane Williams-Rhodes on a screen on another. So, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he's the guy who ends up leading the team in tackles at the end of the night. Another guy, I hate to say it, but I think Anu Solomon is going to, you know, how well he plays is going to determine how well the Wildcats play, because that's just kind of how it's been all season long. And the third guy, I think, is probably going to be Williams-Rhodes. I'm sorry, I'm looking something up real quick. Because, I mean, he's a guy who's, you know, kind of shifty. He's had, you know, a few big plays this year. And actually, you know what, I want to take that back. I think Thomas Spurbeck is going to be the third big guy. You know, not only because he's kind of come into his own in Matt Miller's absence, which was something I think kind of echoing what Hank said when we had our conference championship preview, that, you know, Miller's absence really forced a lot of the other guys to step up and develop their game. And Spurbeck, in particular, has been really good in the last month. You know, in November especially, he was averaging 17 yards a catch, and he had a couple of big touchdowns, and I think he actually threw a touchdown in the title game. Did he not? I forget. I tried to erase that from my memory.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's a guy who may not be, who may be doing more than just catching passes, and Arizona's going to have to be ready for that, because you know Boise State's going to have some kind of trick up its sleeve.
And they're not afraid to use trick plays at the PS1.
Exactly.
We've seen that many, many times. So I think my guys, so for Arizona, I think Nick Wilson's going to has to have an impact in this game. Not so much New Solomon, because we kind of know what he's going to do. He's going to be slinging it out there, but you could guarantee he's going to be 50% and still somehow 322 yards. You know, that's just how Solomon plays. I think Nick Wilson has to have a big game in order for Arizona to win. I think the Arizona offensive line cannot give up more than 2 sacks. If they give up more than 2 sacks to Ben Weaver and Tanner Vallejo and Kaimalei Correa, this is going to be a long game for Arizona.
Okay.
And I think the last person, and I think the last person for Arizona on that side, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and say Casey Scowron, Arizona's kicker.
Interesting.
Yeah. 17 of 25 field goals, which is pretty good, and he's 54-54 for all point after attempts. But if it comes to the field goal game, I mean, that's pretty good, but it could be a lot better, right?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe he missed a potential game winner against Southern Cal.
Yes.
So you have to wonder.
Hashtag college kickers.
Yeah. So will the Wildcats fans trust him if the situation is close late? Because
and that's the thing. If they're down by a field goal, you're either going to go for the touchdown or you're going to go for the field goal. If you have 3 seconds left, what are you going to do?
You know what? You know what I think they'll do? I think they'd be more likely to be aggressive because, you know, just looking at the numbers, Boise State has a huge advantage on third down conversions. You know, they've picked up 45% of third downs, and Arizona's only picked up 39%, which is, I believe, if I remember correctly, somewhere in the 80s as far as FBS ranking. But if you include fourth downs, Arizona's converting those opportunities at a 60% clip, which is good for a top 30 ranking. So I think if the offense is efficient enough, like if it gets to the point where it is, you know, a game where both teams are in the 30s, I wouldn't be surprised if Rich Rod was more inclined to keep his offense on the field and trust them to make another play.
All right, and so Boise State's on the Boise State side, my three key players for this game. I'm gonna go with Jake Rowe, tight end. The last few years of Peterson era, we did not see the tight end receive a lot, and Jake Rowe has been very, very key this year. 33 receptions, 399 yards, 12.1 yards per average. He's been a very key guy on third down and making those big plays. So I think Rowe's going to be a key player. This is Ajayi's last game as a Bronco. I think he's got to be a key player. And the third person I'm saying is Kaimalei Correa. So he's got to get back there, and he's got to have at least 1 sack by himself.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that you bring up Jake Rowe. Because you're right. 8 of his 12 passes that were caught on third down went for first downs.
Yeah. So, you know.
So he might be one of those quiet kind of glue guys that kind of is the key to success.
Absolutely. So, oh, what do we have here?
What's going on?
It's Jeremy!
Oh my goodness.
How you doing, buddy?
Doing alright.
So we just finished giving our three key players of the game. We've gone over offense, defense, but we haven't given predictions yet. So let's hear your three players, key players.
How much of that did you pick up?
I missed the joke there because I'm driving and I don't know how well the sound works or how to heard a little bit of some sort of joke, I guess.
Well, he was just saying you arrived at a good time. We're just getting to our predictions right now.
Oh, I thought I heard something after that. Oh, yeah, predictions. So it's a big game, right? The Fiesta Bowl, I believe. Is that what we're talking about?
Absolutely it is.
Yes, it is.
So who were your – well, I guess I have to go back and listen to know who your key players are, but I'm guessing two of the three are Scooby Wright and Jay Ajayi. Does that sound about right?
Yes.
So we tried to go beyond the offense, so.
I said Jay Ajayi. Matt, did you say Scooby Wright?
No, I said Anu Solomon.
And you said Solomon. Nobody said Scooby Wright. We just know he's going to get back there and just kill people.
He's going to be a given.
Did we lose him?
We might have. He said he was driving, so.
Yeah. Well, see, this is what happens when I take over. He's still cut out.
If he comes back, he can provide his prediction. Otherwise, he can leave it in the comment thread like everybody else.
All right, so. Let's go ahead. Should you want to start with the predictions, or should I?
Why don't you go ahead?
Ooh, you're just really you're really wanting me to. Okay. I have the whole Boise State homer in front of me and all that stuff, and I. You know, I'm going to go big here. I'm going to say Boise State's going to come out. He's going to kind of they're just going to kind of, you know, dominate everybody at the line of scrimmage. And I'm going to say Boise State's going to win this by a touchdown. I'm going to put it really high scoring. I'm going to put it like 49-42.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's bold. as you might suspect, I disagree. And you can call me a Boise State hater if you like.
You're a hater. You're nothing but a hater.
Arizona a lot in this matchup because the Wildcats aren't Fresno State. They aren't Wyoming. They aren't San Diego State. They aren't Utah State. This is probably the best offense that they've faced all year.
But it's not the best defense.
It's not the best
defense. Ole Miss's defense was much, much better.
This is why I do agree that it will be a high-scoring matchup.
I'm guessing it doesn't matter where I'm at, I always get kicked out of Google Hangout. Internet, phone, there's a conspiracy against me.
I started it. Go give your predictions, Jeremy.
Quickly. I would say I will be quick. I made a prediction over with the guys at the Arizona Desert Swarm. I predict a low-scoring game. I think I put 24-21 or something, but that doesn't seem likely. I think it could be something along the lines of the Nevada score where somebody get mid-30s when they played Arizona. But here's the reason what's got to happen. It's going to be Hedrick can't have an Air Force game or can't have a game versus Ole Miss, which is odd. Stating the obvious, but he can't have four interceptions. He can't even have two because Brian Harsin's already said that Arizona defense is quite fast, and Scooby Wright's probably better than Zach Vigil, or they're on the same level at least, but plays a better conference. It just has to be the Ajayi train the whole game, get him 30 to 40 touches passing and receiving if that's possible, and let him beat Arizona, and that's, I think, very well could happen. But I see one possession game with I got to go to Homer Pick and pick the Broncos, right? We all saw the Oregon game. They're terrible.
So you're taking the 3 points that Vegas is giving them right now?
I would take six, but yeah, three, sure.
Okay, well, I guess I'm on my own. I like Arizona in this matchup. I like them a lot. I'm sorry, I got to pick them to roll. I think it's going to be like 42-31 or something like that.
Well, you were right in the wire, but we're all suckers for taking Fresno.
I tried to warn you.
I get Arizona, but here I've seen Arizona enough. I saw them. Here's the thing. I knew Sullivan could be – he's healthy, but who knows. Their starting center is out for the first half due to suspension, so that could be a key area for Boise in the first half to get ahead. And that's – somehow I'm going to discuss that, but that could be an issue with the backup center. And I saw them beat Utah 42-10. Utah's defense is better than Boise's defense, but – I don't know what happened to that game. It's weird. It's like a feeling I have. I've seen Arizona play well. They did beat Oregon. They crushed Utah, but they don't really impress me all that much. It's kind of a weird thing, even though I know they can be really good. They just kind of seem to be, oh, they're number 10. They're pretty good, but I don't think they're this elite juggernaut team. It's not like when Utah played Pitt in the Fiesta Bowl. It's not, but not Alabama. It's kind of more, or when Boise played Oklahoma. Kind of in between, more like the TCU game, I'm thinking, where they're both reasonably ranked in the same neighborhood. That's kind of how I think this game could turn out. They both have good defenses. I would give Boise State's offense a slight edge, just because of J.H.I., and then if the McNichols can do something special, or Shane-Willen Rhodes can do that, but I think these teams are more balanced than people are giving credit for.
So what's your final score, Jeremy?
If I get a score, what's the over-under? I'm driving here.
Well, you said 27-17 a minute ago.
7.5.
It's 68?
Yeah.
So they're thinking 35-32. That's about right. I think it'll be, I like to say, close to the Nevada game. I'm going to up my prediction, which I just gave the other day. I think it might be like in the neighborhood of like 38-31, somewhere in that range. Whoever the winner will have right between 35 and 40 points.
But you're not picking a winner.
Boy, I already said Boise State by a touchdown. Taking a 3-point. And by about a touchdown.
Okay. See, I have Boise State by a touchdown, but I've got it a 49-42 game. I'm going way high.
Woo!
Yeah, I think Arizona's going to score first. Boise's going to be playing catch up all afternoon.
Yeah. It's just an interesting game. I think both teams are kind of the same. They both have good running backs. They both have a solid defense. Quarterback play could be better on both sides because Solomon can show well, but then he kind of goes off the path. He gets hurt a little bit, and Hedrick's had two really bad games against an old problem. When they played Ole Miss, that was a pretty bad defense, or a pretty good defense they went up against. Both teams are, I think where the strengths are for both teams are almost the same on the other side. Scoob Wright is better than Boise's front seven. But then again, Boise, I can't think of the guy's name out in front of me, but led the conference in sacks, 10 sacks, I believe. I think of the name before to have it, but drive and don't have it. Him and Scooby Wright are reasonably comparable, close. They're not the same, obviously, but they're close. Running backs, close. That's why I kind of think the strengths on both sides are similar, I think.
Well, there you have it, folks. All three of us. I don't know what else to say about this game. I mean, we've covered almost every single aspect, even down to the kicking team.
What do you think about? So, do you think there's a big deal with Harsin being a first-year head coach? Then,
no,
I don't think so. No. Harsin knows how to work. He knows how to call Fiesta Bowls. Remember.
Well, I know, I'm just curious because Rich Rodriguez has been in a couple. He has been a head coach longer. Harsin, not first-year head coach, but first-year at Boise, but he's won conference titles, played at Texas, or coached at Texas, been to all the other festivals. I'm just curious what you guys thought. That was a quick no there, but I would lean toward not a big factor. Minor, but not a big factor.
Yeah. If anything, what we've seen about Harsin in terms of his coaching ability is he just sometimes gets overly aggressive, I would say.
Yeah, don't do four tight end halfback pass for reverse screens.
Yeah.
Is that a play?
It can be.
It can be. Don't pull Utah and the Vegas Bowl to drive that play back-to-back touch.
Just imagine it, and it will be.
Yeah, that is one concern. He does throw to either do the same kind of trick or trick type of play more than once in the game. He'll have a couple, but they have to all be different. Huh. I'm pretty good. I'm satisfied. 2-1, Boise's going to win. Let's see if Matt wins this again, which he might.
Yeah. Matt can go ahead and be pretty smug, except for that Navy-San Diego State calling game. Huh?
Yeah, right. Can't win them all.
Nope.
All right. So this has been the Fiesta Bowl preview. Once again, www.mwcconnection.com. That's Mountain West Connection is the website. This is Chris Hondros at Greek Padre. That's Matt Kennerly at MattK_FS. And Jeremy Mouse joined us for a few minutes there. It looks like he exited out of the game. So drive home safely, Jeremy. And once again, listen to us on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, whatever the hell else we're on the website itself. What else are we on, Matt? This is going us on YouTube as well.
iTunes, Stitcher. You can look it up.
I already said all those things and more.
And this is the last show of 2014, isn't it?
It is. Yeah. No, we're not doing a show on New Year's Eve. So yeah. Next time you're going to be hearing from us is in 2015. So happy New Year's, folks.
Yeah, enjoy the game, everybody, and have, you know, obviously have a safe New Year so you can catch up with us in 2015.
Yeah, not too, don't drink too heavily.
Exactly.